miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
This is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're passionate about helping you take control of your health so you can live at the top of your curve. And our guest this half hour is Madeline Fernstrom. You may know her because she's on the Today Show all the time. And she has written with her husband, and you'll have to tell me that, Dr. Fernstrom, is it with your husband?
Yes, it is with my husband. My husband and colleague.
And how many times have you, let me first introduce the book. It says, don't eat this if you're taking that. What that is implying is that there are certain foods you should avoid if you're taking certain medicines. And I would go the other way. Have you ever thought about going the other way? Madeline saying, don't get these prescriptions if you like these foods. I've often thought we should adjust to patients rather than patients having to adjust to what we do.
But you're exactly right. Actually, I love that thinking. And it's funny because this book presents things both ways. If you know your medicine, you can look for your food. If there are certain foods you really love and don't want to change, look for your medicine, because then you can talk to your doctor and perhaps have a change. So you are right on with that.
Well, I looked this book is really spectacular in having these nice lists, which say, for example, the foods that contain vitamin K,
right,
which is a contraindication or is a limitation of you having those foods if you're taking Coumadin, or conversely, maybe if you love these foods and think they're important for your life, as many people do, that you avoid getting Coumadin and go to one of the other drugs that is now available.
Right.
I didn't realize, for example, that canola oil was a significant source of vitamin K, and I've never told that to any of my patients. So it's a great education for me in reading this book as well. And the book also, it doesn't just do what you would call medications that you get as a prescription. It also goes in supplements that you should think about the interaction with food. So how did you get the idea for this book, Dr. Fernstrom? It really is wonderful.
You know, I've treated so many patients for weight-related issues over the years, and my husband is actually a very famous pharmacologist. And because we are trained in nutrition and pharmacology and neuroscience, we would always get these questions. I would get these questions from my patients all the time because, as you know, people with weight issues often are taking prescription medications. And people would say, I heard about this, or I'm not supposed to take this, or the pharmacist said that. And actually, a lot of our colleagues said, we have these issues all the time. Whether you have diabetes or high blood pressure or have chronic pain, there are these food and medicine interactions. And people encourage us for the longest time, and we've said, you know what, this is probably a good time to do it. But to do it as regular consumers would do it, like I would, you know, of my dad or my relatives or, you know, anyone that I know would be taking a medicine, of saying, what's an easy way to do this? And we put this book together so you can personalize this, find your medicine, and look for the foods in easy lists, and really a way to get help. Because just like, you know, in your introduction, which I love, it's all about you. You have to take control of your health. And when you take medication, you can't be an ostrich and say, all right, it's just enough for me to take the medicine every day, which I agree is hard enough to be compliant. But then to say, is the food going to boost or interfere with the activity of the medication, and not have it act as your doctor intended? And that's the issue, because so many of these things, you brought up blood thinners, you know, dark green vegetables, you know, kale is the, you know, the king of vegetables. And you're thinking, what could be wrong with that? And when you take certain blood thinners, like Coumadin, as you said, vitamin K is going to block that effect. And you might want to then open that dialogue with your doctor to say, I'm having a hard time limiting dark greens. I really like these and some of the other sources like canola oil, all healthy things. I don't want to have just a cup of salad a day. Are there some options? And of course, you know, there might be an alternative. And you know, as a physician as well, sometimes there's an option and maybe not. So you know, the appropriate medication for your medical illness first, and then make some dietary adjustments. But the most important thing, especially with a food like grapefruit, which a lot of people don't want to give up. You can't say limit or avoid it. They'd rather not take the medication. And especially for many, but not all of the statins, a lot of them are sensitive. You can't combine with grapefruit because it boosts the impact in your body. But something like Crestor, some of the newer ones, which aren't always on the insurance formularies, but might be worth it to an individual who's saying, you know what, I want my grapefruit and I want my statin and I'd like to be able to combine them. So the good news is there are a lot of options, but, you know, you have to be an informed and thinking consumer.
Well, the book helps clearly with informed, and we actually have an email question relating to the statin. One of the people say, my doc said I shouldn't have grapefruit when I was having, and I was on Lipitor.
Right.
But we reached a compromise. I can have the grapefruit in the morning and the Lipitor at bedtime. Is that true with most drugs? You can just have the food at a different time. And I guess what they're really asking is, what's the mechanism of most of these interactions? Are they a food and a timing issue, or is there a more different interaction for each of them?
You know, for some of it, it's a timing issue. The issue with grapefruit, it's never really been about avoiding it altogether. And that's been something from drug companies for a safety and approval point of view, saying, well, are you going to tell people to limit grapefruit juice or limit their grapefruit intake? Everybody is different. You know, people supersize things and could drink a quarter grapefruit juice, saying, well, I'll just cut back a few ounces. Limiting means a half a grapefruit a day or maybe 6 ounces, a small juice glass a day. This compromise, you know, is certainly reasonable because the way that, you know, as you know, the body is a little chemistry set with a lot of chemical reactions that break down food and break down medications in the same pathway in your digestive tract. So grapefruit has a compound that interferes with the breakdown, the normal breakdown in the body of most of the statins, including Lipitor. So separating this by a period of 12 hours is certainly helpful because you're only having, again, a limited amount. And most of these things are limit or avoid. And if you're someone who can't limit it, that's a problem. If you certainly don't want to wash down your Lipitor with grapefruit juice, but this is a good compromise that this particular person has with their doctor because, again, they're monitored, their lipids are monitored, and it's a good compromise. For some people, and there are statins like Crestor that are an option that have no interaction with grapefruit. So again, if the instruction of a small juice glass or simply a half a grapefruit isn't for you, you might switch to that. And it's funny, it's not just grapefruits. What we found in our research, and just like you had said with the vitamin K and canola oil, we found that there are a couple other select fruits that have the same effect as grapefruit, but surprisingly, not most oranges or lemons, not all citrus fruits. Seville oranges, which most people get in marmalade form, Seville orange marmalade, and they're available only some times of year, have the same compound. And if you take a statin, you should avoid that, as well as pomelos, which are becoming increasingly popular. They look kind of like grapefruits, but they're really a cross between an orange and a grapefruit. So you've got to be careful about these things. So it's more than just scratching the surface. And many people are telling us, you know, physicians need this book because people say, how come my doctor doesn't tell me this? Because it's not easily available. There's a lot of online information that's incorrect. There's a lot of personal stories that people then start to think this may be true. And often the pharmacist doesn't have that information at his or her fingertips either. So that's why we wrote this book. That's why it's written in a way that is just very friendly and easy to find, you know, the basics.
Now, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the mechanism and why some of the, if you will, over-the-counter or integrative medicine or complementary medicine or herbal drugs also have some reactions, such as you list avoid when using SSRIs, St. John's wort, and tryptophan and 5-hydroxytryptophan, vitamin E and omega-3s, etc. We'll come right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We're talking with Dr. Madeline Fernstrom, F-E-R-N-S-T-R-O-M, the book Don't Eat This If You're Taking That. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen. I usually, during football season in Cleveland, don't invite anyone from the University of Pittsburgh on because Pittsburgh does such a bad job with the Cleveland Browns every year. But this is an exception. Dr. Fernstrom, F-E-R-N-S-T-R-O-M, has written, "Don't Eat This If You're Taking That." And you probably say, she's at the University of Pittsburgh. I saw her on the Today Show. Well, that's right. She's one of the Today Show medical hosts, if you will. And she's written with her husband this wonderful book, "Don't Eat This If You're Taking That." I say it's wonderful because it does much more than just talk about drugs, food, interaction, that is, what things you shouldn't eat if you're taking this drug, but it also talks to you about what foods are high in that. For example, I didn't know, as I said in the first segment, that canola oil was had a amount of vitamin K in it that was probably problematic for people taking Coumadin. And most importantly, because I haven't seen it anyplace else, is what supplements not to take with both drugs and also foods. So one of the things is it says there's a in chapter, I think it's one of the early chapters on depression, it says when you're taking an SSRI, and Dr. Fernstrom will find out what an SSRI is from you, you should avoid St. John's wort, tryptophan, 5-hydroxytryptophan, vitamin E, omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil, ginkgo, Asian ginseng, bilberry, ginger, horse chestnut, and garlic. So talk to us about what an SSRI is and then why you should avoid these with one.
Okay, the major thing, you know, when you think about different prescription medications, and people like to take a lot of vitamins, which count as dietary supplements, but there's so many more. The issue is you think, well, what's the worst that'll happen? Dietary supplements. If I take it, the worst that'll happen is nothing. When it comes to things like St. John's wort that affect the brain, or tryptophan, which is the building block of the neurotransmitter serotonin that's related to a lot of things in brain, including mood, or 5-hydroxytryptophan, these things in supplement form are concentrated and get to the brain and can act and mimic the effect of prescription antidepressants. Many people have heard about, well, don't take a prescription antidepressant, take St. John's wort. The problem with all dietary supplements is that they're regulated differently than over-the-counter medicines and prescription medicines. So you have to be very careful with the sources you take, because sometimes there are contaminants or dosing issues that you're not aware of. But most importantly, these do have biological activity and can mimic act the same way as, for example, antidepressants on the brain. So SSRIs, people know if they're on them. These are things like Prozac or even SNRIs that are like Effexor. But people, these are very common compounds, and they work for millions of people very well. So a combination of medication and behavioral change helps people moderate their depression and hopefully be symptom free. But you can't add a lot of dietary supplements to that, because it'll be as if you're having too much stimulation to these brain cells. And when it comes to medications that affect your brain, too much is really not a good idea. So that's why you don't want to mix, especially St. John's wort, which acts like an antidepressant, or the amino acids. We go amino acids, the building blocks of protein, but they can build neurotransmitters in the brain. And if you've got too much or not enough and the balance is off, you're not going to be helping yourself with your depression management. Something else that you said, and I want to bring this up, because the supplement form of foods, whether it's something like garlic and onions, you go, what could be wrong? It's great. Garlic does a lot. It's fantastic when you cook with it. When it is put in supplement form, it's concentrated, so the active ingredients are acting more like a drug in your body. Garlic and onion actually are very strong blood thinners in a concentrated form. Something like cinnamon, what could be bad with that? Now, sprinkling cinnamon on your cereal or using it otherwise is very different from a concentrated amount in a pill that can actually affect your blood sugar, for example. And so if you're taking a diabetes medicine to lower your blood sugar, and you're taking a bunch of extra cinnamon supplements, you could lower your blood sugar too low and be dangerously low. And so you're not going to feel good from that. So when you take foods and put them in a pill form, it's not just translating into what you're going to be having as the food. It's highly concentrated and the active ingredient is concentrated. So you have to really be very careful.
Now, a large, by the way, we got a question. I just wanted, we got a series of questions on the email line, and I apologize to people for not getting to them all. But one of the first ones was about a Seville orange and it having the same things in it as grapefruit. And they said, what's a Seville orange?
Yeah. A Seville orange, just like you have navel oranges or Valencia oranges, it's a type of orange. If you're in your supermarket, it will clearly state if it's a Seville orange. More commonly, people will have this as marmalade, like orange jelly, and it will say Seville orange marmalade. So that name will always be there, whether you're buying a fresh orange or you're buying it as marmalade. So avoid that and just read the label and pay attention to it, because that's an important aspect. Good question.
Now, you also have a series of foods that might interact or maybe should be avoided when you're taking pain relief medications.
Right.
Go ahead and talk more
about
that, Dr.
One big thing with pain relief medications is alcohol. And we know some of the health benefits of things like red wine or a small amount of alcohol. But the issue is anything that will affect the brain, especially alcohol, because that it will act as a sedative and is something that will sedate and have your brain signals be more reduced. You won't want that interaction with pain medication, because these pathways overlap and you can have a risk of your pain medication acting sort of too well. That's something that you really want to avoid. That's probably one of the biggest things that you should not mix together.
So one to avoid when taking pain medications, just to give people an idea of how comprehensive this is, it talks about vitamin E, fish oil, onion and garlic, American ginseng, bilberry, cocoa, I didn't know cocoa, ginger, ginkgo, horse chestnut, and there are a series of others, and also some supplements.
Right.
Want to thank very much Dr. Fernstrom, Fernstrom. Don't eat this if you're taking that. Probably everyone should get this book. It's wonderful. Thanks very much. We'll be right back.